Well, good evening. Thank you for being here. This evening we want to study a little passage in the Gospel of Mark. Now, this passage that Brother Mike read a few moments ago records a very amazing miracle performed by the Lord. The disciples and Jesus was in a boat, and they was heading across the water. A storm came up, the wind was blowing, the boat was being swamped, and the disciples became afraid. And they went to the rear of the ship and woke the Lord up and asked Him a very serious question: "Do you not care that we perish?" And Jesus got up, rebuked the wind, and then there was a great calm. But the passage that I want us to concentrate on this evening is found in verse 36. "And when they had sent away the multitude, they took Him even as He was." Now, I don't really understand what that little part of the Scripture means. Does it mean that they took Him being tired, hungry? Perhaps He hadn't had a bath in a day or two? We don't know. But the idea here is they took Him even as He was in the ship. The question is, are you willing to take Jesus just as He is? You know, many are simply unwilling to take Jesus as He is. Many will attempt to fashion Jesus to their liking. You know, many times people will try to change Jesus to fit their lifestyle. Many times, and some years ago, I'd done a lesson simply titled, "Try Jesus." And I brought out a point of someone trying Jesus on like a suit of clothes. And if it didn't fit, take it off. Try something bigger, something smaller. In other words, trying to make Jesus fit them instead of them taking Jesus as He is. How many times have we heard people say, "You know, that's not what my Jesus would do." Or perhaps maybe someone has said, "My Jesus would not condemn anyone." You know, people, they do not want to believe that Christ, who died for the sins of mankind, would simply condemn someone for a sinful act. But you know what? Jesus said, or God said, "Let us make man in our image." Genesis chapter 1 and verse 26. "And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowls of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." In this verse we see God said, "Let us make man in our image." But you know what? Almost from that day on, man has simply tried to make God into their image. The more human we can make God, the more we feel that God cannot condemn us for sin. When we try to make God into our image, we change God to be like us. And that is simply something that we cannot do. Romans chapter 1 and verse 25. "Who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen." And this is some of the problem that we have today. They've changed the truth of God into a lie. And they have started to worship and serve the creature rather than God. And then in Isaiah chapter 53, verses 1 through 12. But here we're going to read verses 2 through 3. For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of dry ground. For he hath no form or comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our face from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. And brothers and sisters, this is still going on today. Man simply refuses to esteem Jesus. Man simply refuses to give Christ preeminence in their lives. They would rather worship the creature rather than the Creator. And then John chapter 1 and verse 11. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. Jesus was born a Jew. He went to the Jews. The Jews rejected him. In fact, they set out and destroyed him. They hung him on the cross because they rejected the Savior. They simply refused to take Jesus as he was. Then 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 22 through 24. For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. But unto them which are called both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. To the Jews, Jesus was a stumbling block. Literally a snare. Something that offends. They were offended by Christ because Christ pointed out their arrogance. He pointed out their sinfulness. And he was unwilling to compromise God's word. So they simply rejected and simply would not take Jesus as he was. But what does it mean to take Jesus as he is? What does that mean? First of all, it means that we must hold truth without compromise. You know, many people today believe that compromise is the way to go. You know, when two people can agree to compromise on something, then they can come together. But we, brothers and sisters, we cannot compromise God's Word with the world. God's Word gives us the things that we have to live by. It gives us a means of salvation. We cannot compromise that Word. Mark chapter 10, verse 21 and 22. Then Jesus, beholding him, loved him. This is talking about a man that come running up to Jesus and kneeled down before him and said, Master, what one thing must I do to inherit eternal life? And he said unto him, one thing thou lackest, go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come, take up your cross and follow me. And he was sad at that saying, and went away grieved, for he had great possessions. He was wanting a compromise. He was wanting Jesus to compromise his way to salvation. Well, Lord, you know, I'll give away some of what I have, but don't ask me to give all. Don't ask me to give up my ease of life. Let me retain some of my wealth, and I'll follow you. But Jesus would not compromise. Why? Because he knew and he understood the man's heart. That his heart was in his wealth and not in following Jesus Christ. The man simply refused to take up his cross. He refused to follow. He refused to take Jesus as he was because of the wealth that he had and the hardness of his heart. Taking Jesus just as he is means that love and truth are not mutually exclusive. We cannot have one without the other. There are those who shout out, "I love Jesus," but yet when it comes to living an obedient life to Jesus Christ and His Word, well, I don't really believe that's what Jesus means. I don't think that my Jesus would do that. Or I don't believe that my Jesus would condemn anyone because they fell into sin. I don't believe that Jesus would condemn someone because, well, you know, they live a good moral life. How can Jesus condemn somebody that lived such a great moral life? Love and truth are not mutually exclusive. We cannot pick and choose truth. Truth is truth. Truth can never be a lie. We cannot say, "I have truth," but yet we hate men. We cannot say we have truth, but yet not live that truth. Look at Mark chapter 8, verse 38. "Whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh in the glory of his Father with his holy angels." Brothers and sisters, if we do not stand for truth, then that means that perhaps we're ashamed of Jesus Christ. We're ashamed of Jesus' words. We cannot have love and truth separate. We either love the truth or we don't. There's no in between. Taking Jesus as He is means that we must embrace Him and His cross and take up our cross. Just as our lesson was this morning, taking up our cross and following Jesus. Luke chapter 14 and verse 27, a verse that we looked at this morning. And whosoever doth not bear his cross, remember, doth not, an absolute negative. It is something that will not happen. If we do not take up our cross, we cannot be Jesus' disciple. It's very decisive. If we do not take up that cross, then we cannot be Jesus' disciple. What does it mean to take Jesus as He is? It means that we hold on to the truth without compromise. That means we love the truth and we embrace the cross and we pick up our cross and carry it daily. And then we must be willing to accept His forgiveness. How many people have you ever heard, "I just don't believe God can forgive me"? It's sad. It's sad when someone believes that their life is so bad that God cannot save. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 7, "In whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace." We are saved by faith through grace. I don't read anywhere in the Bible that there is a sin that God cannot forgive if we seek His forgiveness. If we refuse to repent, if we refuse to ask God for forgiveness, then yes, we can be lost. But our lives cannot be so evil that when we obey the gospel or that when we seek God's forgiveness, that God cannot and will not forgive us. Look at the Apostle Paul. He was guilty of murder. He put Christians in prison. He was there applauding Stephen's death. But yet God chose him to be an apostle. Peter denied Christ. Not once, not twice, but three times. But yet Peter was forgiven and became a great apostle. Think about all of the sins that you have committed. What sin is there that God will not forgive you if you simply seek that forgiveness? There's not a sin that you can commit that God will not forgive you for unless it's a willing sin and you refuse to ask for forgiveness. Look at Acts chapter 13 and verse 38. Be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man, meaning Christ, is preached unto you the forgiveness of sin. I believe that within the New Testament, we are told many times about forgiveness of sin. It's so important that we must be willing to ask and accept the willingness of God to forgive. The sad thing is many times we fail to forgive ourselves and we live in pain and agony because we simply refuse God's forgiveness. Look at Colossians chapter 1 and verse 4. In whom we have redemption. In whom we have the ability to be made right before God through His blood, even the forgiveness of sin. The forgiveness of sin is very important. If we're taking Jesus as He is, His willingness to forgive, then let us accept that forgiveness and be thankful that He was willing to die in our stead. Taking Jesus as He is also means that we must accept the church just as Jesus established it. Take your Bibles, if you will, and turn to Acts chapter 20. Acts chapter 20. I want to read verses 28 through 30. Luke writing here. Acts chapter 20, starting in verse 28. Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God which He hath purchased with His own blood. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men rise, speaking perverse things to draw away the disciples after them. Therefore, watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I ceased not to warn everyone night and day with tears. The thing is, there's an organization in the church. The first verse there, verse 28, talking about the elders to feed the flock. But you know, the world today and in the many denominations that we have, they've changed the church. They've made it into more of a social club than the kingdom. We can see that within the organization we have elders, and only certain men qualify to be elders. We have deacons. Only certain men qualify to be deacons. We have preachers. We have teachers. And we have things within worship that we must do. That is, sing and pray and partake of the Lord's Supper, giving, preaching, and teaching. But the idea that a lot of denominations have today that, well, you know, the elder can be anybody that we want to be an elder. You know, I've had young men, unmarried men, knock on my door and say, "Hi, I'm Elder so-and-so from so-and-so." You're awful young. How many children do you have? Well, I don't have any. So you're telling me that you're an elder, but one of the qualifications for an elder is to be the husband of one wife. You're unmarried. You have no children. And an elder must have believing children. Well, you know, that's the old way about doing things. But you know, the problem is, people today want to change the church to fit their lifestyle. We have those who simply say, well, you know, it's not that important to taking the first supper upon the first day of the week. We do it, you know, once a year, once a month, once every 6 months. We do it on special occasions. The giving, well, you know, we need the money, so we'll have a garage sale or we'll have a bake sale or, you know, we'll get on TV and we'll have people send us money and we'll send them a flower or a pamphlet or a brochure or something like that because we need the money. But Paul talks about the giving in 1 Corinthians chapter 16. But not only is there an organization within the kingdom, within the church, as Jesus established it, there are terms of entrance. Not just anybody can be a member of the church. There's only one way. Let's look at Acts chapter 2 and verse 38. Then Peter said unto them, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sin, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost." And then we see in Acts 2 and verse 41, "Then they that gladly received the word were baptized. And the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls." And then Acts chapter 2 and verse 47, "Praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved." There's only one way. There's only one way to enter into the kingdom of God, and that is through baptism. The act of obedience to Jesus' word. Taking Jesus just as He is means that we hold the truth without compromise. We love the truth. We embrace the cross. We accept His willingness to forgive us. And we accept the church as Jesus established it, entering into that church, that kingdom, the only way authorized within God's Word. That is through baptism for the remission of sins. And then the Lord adds you to the kingdom, the church. You don't join. You're not voted in. You don't have to take an entrance exam. It's obedience to God's Word. If we expect Jesus to still the storms in our lives, then we need to take Jesus just as He is. John chapter 12 and verse 48. He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The words that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. It's not my word. It's not the Bible teacher's word. But it's the word of Jesus Christ. They will judge us. Will you accept Jesus just as He is? Will you allow Him to change you instead of you trying to change Jesus?